isn't the job I want. She almost smiled. For what it's worth, you're not very good at it. He almost smiled back. I know, I know. Colonel Christopher unconsciously pressed one hand against her helmet earphone as the smooth male voice repeated, Unidentified aircraft. This is Air Defense Command of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. You have entered DPRK airspace. You will identify yourself and depart DPRK airspace at once. Respond immediately, please. Kaufman, standing at the cockpit hatch, was staring at her. Well, he asked. He had heard the message from the speaker on O'Banion's console. Christopher's mind was racing. Clipped to the control panel in front of her was the message from Washington. Missile launch imminent. No fighter cover. Well, Kaufman said again, more demanding. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
Nothing? Stay on course. Make no reply to them. Radio silence from here on in.
They'll shoot us down. The goddamn gooks shot down a civilian airliner a few years ago, didn't they? They'll send out fighters and blast us out of the sky.
Go to the toilet, Obi, and get back here as fast as you can. I'm going to need you here.
You're going to get us all killed, Kaufman muttered. Trying to ignore her co-pilot, Christopher called to O'Banion.
Brick, radio silence. Nothing goes out unless I say so.
The communications officer's voice came through her headphone. Not even a mayday when they shoot us down. Engagement. The Pentagon, Secretary of Defense's office. The Secretary of Defense smiled and rose to his feet as she came in, but stayed behind his broad, gleaming desk.
Welcome to my humble abode, Madam Secretary, he said, his deep voice grating like a rusty hinge.
Cut the bullcrap, Lonnie, said the Secretary of State. We don't have time for it.
She walked across the spacious room and dropped with a sigh into one of the massive leather-upholstered armchairs in front of the desk. With a practiced eye, she swept the office, taking in the heavy dark furniture, the bookcases lined with leather-bound volumes that looked as if they'd never been opened, the wall of photographs of the man with his fellow great and powerful ones, the view from the top-floor windows of the city across the Potomac and the spire of the Washington Monument. It was still raining, but there was a hint of late-afternoon sunshine breaking through the gray clouds.
"You came alone?" asked Lionel Bakersfield. "Without your usual entourage."
The Secretary of Defense swiveled his plush high-backed chair slightly to and fro. The Secretary of State thought it betrayed a nervousness in him. Bakersfield was wearing a gray three-piece suit that had been hand-tailored for him, although its jacket hung open and his vest was unbuttoned. Even his old-fashioned rep tie had wormed loose from his collar. Sloppy, thought the Secretary of State. The man's always been a slob, and he'll never be anything but a slob. A dangerous slob, though. They had campaigned against one another through the primaries, and both lost to the current president. Both of them had been senators before joining their one-time rival's administration, and senators always thought of presidents as temporary. The president proposes, the Congress disposes. It was a motto that had warmed many a senator's heart over many, many administrations. State was still in the pearl-gray pantsuit and tailored white blouse she had worn earlier. She felt a little grubby, but there had been no time to change.
"Anyone see you coming here?" Defense asked.
She knew he meant news media people.
No, I came in a closed limo. There won't be any headlines.